This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here we go. It is our 4 G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan. We are 90 minutes away from Rangers pregame. They're taking on the A's tonight. Let's hit the C note here. Cowboys news of the evening, where we look at the top headlines resonating across your digital universe regarding the Dallas Cowboys. Our friend Mike Fisher with a report on Isaiah Bond. NFL team source tells Fish, exclusive. Let's see if he's proven innocent. Let's see what happens when the dust settles there. I know there's continued to be a lot of questions around Isaiah Bond. Maybe the Cowboys, you know, it makes sense considering they did not draft a wide receiver, that they do need to either sign one, trade one, maybe go get a veteran. I think Isaiah Bond probably is starting to shape up like, you know, all the NFL teams are looking at it like, hey, let's see where this legal situation plays out. Maybe we'll address it on the other side. Is that what you're hearing, Brian?
I think there's a little more to that.
Yeah.
A little more. And the more that you dig in onto the player, I think this is something that teams clearly are looking at. I think teams have more information on this kid as well, and it's not good.
It seems like, you know, he would be the first guy you would call if we're looking at undrafted free agents.
Yeah. He's a guy that not a lot of teams are going to touch.
Okay. Well, best of luck to him in his journey.
Yeah.
Tashar, choice on coaching. Is it Jaden or Jadon?
Jaden Blue.
Okay.
I've heard both, but I think we should go Jaden.
I was hearing Jaden, then I heard some Jadons over the last couple of days. I wanted to clarify. Coach said, Coach Tashar Choice saying he does compare to Jahmyr Gibbs, saying they're very similar, both very explosive, make plays out of the backfield, very smart. Says, I think Blue's very, very smart. I think Jahmyr is the smartest running back I've ever coached. What does a high football IQ give you there in the backfield, Brian?
Well, the blitz pickup stuff. I mean, that's number one. You've got to be able to, especially when teams are moving around and shifting their fronts, and you got these guys that are standing up that don't normally stand up, and you got to be able to identify. You got to know how to make adjustments on the fly, and your ability to see that and have practiced that, studied that, seen it on film, and then be able to execute it. You could tell the high IQ football players, because they're the ones that don't make mistakes when things get a little muddy. And that's what you need a running back, because you will get your quarterback killed, as we know, if your running back doesn't have the ability to blitz pick up.
All righty. So that's a bonus. His blitz pickup has not been great in college, right? But he's got the size and the football IQ.
I think it's more of the technique than it is anything.
All right.
Yeah.
He's willing to do it.
Yeah. Right on. Other side of the NFL draft, continue to see reports about the Cowboys' interest in George Pickens. Is that alive, guys? Should it be in your mind right now? I know Brian would be excited about getting a talent like that.
The book's closed on that one.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, at least from some of the stuff I was reading today, I don't think
Pittsburgh's closing that one down?
I think so.
I think Detroit's closing down the Williams one, too.
Really?
Yeah. I know that their general manager came out and talked about that, but when I was talking, remember before the draft, I was talking to Gang of Seven. They were mentioned that Jameson Williams was a guy that was being shopped or talked about being shopped. And I know that the Lions general manager since come out and said, hey, we're not going to trade him or anything like that. But I think some teams thought that they might have a shot at him It doesn't sound like now they will.
I do believe the Cowboys should be in a mode of thinking we want to use all of our draft picks to try to get cheap labor. We're not a wide receiver two away from contending. You know, maybe if you had an amazing running back right now, a tremendous defensive tackle, your linebacker and corner were healthy. I mean, you start talking about the answers that the Cowboys would need to be contenders. It's a long list of things. Right now, I think you should be in, we're using all of our picks and all of our salary cap resources to wait, pay off some of our contracts that we've had in the past. And when we stack up those drafts and we're close, that's when we say, okay, throw future draft picks and money at trying to win right now. I just think it would be out of sequence for the Cowboys. I mean, I have no problem with giving Tolbert another shot. Probably not going to be good, but I mean, you played last year, the second half of the season, with a compromised defense and basically the wide receiver group that you have right now, and it wasn't horrible. You know, you were over 500. So I think right now, like, patience should be the theme, not we got to fill every spot and use future picks and cap space to make sure we're shoring things up. But, I mean, getting a talent like George Pickens or Jameson Williams would be fun. I think that'd be a long-term move. Okay, Calvin Watkins writing today, quote, the headline, with Cowboys draft complete, where do wide receiver two position and Dak Prescott's injury stand? Okay, and it was the Dak injury piece of the headline that made me click this thing. And the quote inside from Stephen Jones that Calvin built this story off of, we're going to be very cautious and conservative. Okay, so a couple of talking points there. Number one, this is what Mike Bassick was talking about 5 years ago when he was coming back from the broken leg, that he had to redo the surgery basically because he wasn't cautious and conservative going into that. Dak, one of the hardest workers coming back from injuries, but they almost have to protect him from himself. So that's one of them, but it also tells you the serious nature of this injury. And this is one of those that's not as bad as the compound fracture of the lower leg, but it's one of those where oftentimes the player is noticeably less athletic on the other side of it. And as we're 6 months out, the need to still be cautious and conservative. There's no way you would have signed Dak to that contract if you could have seen the way that this year went, both his production and then the injury situation. So that might be the biggest story going into camp that we haven't been talking a lot about, is how healthy is Dak Prescott going to be? How close is he going to be to, you know, what we saw the first half of last year? That man, I mean, the athleticism has taken a major hit. I think you can expect another one coming up here in 2025.
He seems to be in a good place right now physically, but yeah, and I don't know how much they're going to have him do. I think this would be a great opportunity to get guys like Joe Milton reps when you talk about in training camp. I mean, I know Steven in the post-draft presser was like, hey, if Dak had it his way, he'd be going out on Monday night and playing against the Giants today. You know, so I'm sure that he is. I know Dak's doing everything he can. I mean, Brian, when we've been out there and seen him working out, he looks really, really good. I do think that also is why you go ahead and how can we protect that asset in the middle of the pocket with a pick like Tyler Booker, and then you've got Tyler Smith and now Cooper Beebe, who are really, really good power players in the middle. It's all about, hey, let's go ahead and try and keep him healthy and make sure he's not having to get flushed out of the pocket and use the mobility. Let's make sure he's got a good base that he can step up into and he's not getting rushed right up the middle. So moving forward, I think that, you know, certainly had to play into their thinking with why they made a selection like that.
I mean, it was a pulled hammy, and here we are. We're gonna be 9 months out from this injury, being cautious and conservative through summer and into training camp. I do think that's a major storyline, and it's possible that we don't see Dak anywhere close to Pro Bowl level again.
I think the thing that to me, and I haven't talked to anybody about this or not when the actual date is, but they're generally pretty cautious with their guys that way. To me, I want to see Dak out there. I mean, I know everybody does, but I want to see Dak out there practicing day one if he can. You know, I want to see with some of the things with the offense, with maybe some of the new things they might be trying with the running game stuff. You know, I'd like to see him kind of be a part of all that. I don't need to see Dak not do anything for the whole summer. Then all of a sudden, you know, week one, you're out there trying to, you know, win games, and week two, and then maybe there's a slow start. And, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that all this cautious talk is just cautious talk, and it's not actually what they're going to do.
I'm just taking context clues. And Shoddy said he's now a member of the 30 club. And you start taking less reps. He made note of that. And I think it's regardless on the injury or not, I just think they're going to be cautious with a guy who's now 30-plus, is a veteran, probably doesn't need as many of those reps. I mean, I understand the point of it is a new offense, possibly.
Well, to a point it is. But, I mean, you know, with some of the stuff that they might want to do with the running game aspect of it. But, you know, to me, okay, if you're going into this right now with all this cautious and this, that, and the other, why'd you sign him? If you're going to limit his reps, why would you extend him? You know, why are you worried? I mean, to me, you know, this is the time that you kind of need to like make sure that you don't have a slow start in the season. We're week six. We're not talking about, oh, the offense looks like crap, you know, and then all of a sudden it takes CeeDee Lamb losing his damn mind to get everybody back like, oh, God, we got to do something different now. You know, I don't think this team can afford to start slow. And if Dak's part of it starting slow because they were cautious, then they didn't need to sign Dak.
Yeah, I hope Dak can bounce back and be the player that he was before this injury. I guess the defense would be they didn't know he was going to get hurt again. Like if he had this injury, would they be signing him this year? I hope not. You know,
well, if they're going to be overly cautious about everything that he does, then this was a bad use of money.
I think so. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think the Cowboys' record is going to be next year? Because Pro Football Focus did a way too early 2026 mock draft, and their numbers... 2026 mock draft?
No, I know, but they're number 22.
Where they're going to be picking?
Yeah.
They got them picking ninth.
Oh, do they?
Okay. They simulated the season.
Okay. So they said they're going to be bad. Okay.
They got a tough schedule, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
And this is not going to be easy.
What is it? NFC West, AFC North?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's AFC West.
AFC West, NFC North.
NFC North. Got to be
so you got Packers, Chiefs, Chargers, Vikings, Cardinals, Bears, Broncos, Lions. I mean, that's going to be tough sledding.
They did take the defensive lineman from Clemson, Peter Woods, there, 6'3", 315. I don't think they'll take another defensive tackle. I mean, but if you're wondering what they did in the mock draft, I wanted to tell that to you. But I guess I kind of look at what I said at the front half of this segment, like, even though they had all those injuries last year, they were playing without Cooper Rush, or they were playing without Dak with Cooper Rush. There's enough good players on this team. I don't know. I think if I was projecting their record right now, I would think 9-8 or 10-7.
New offense, new defense. We saw how much of a struggle that was defensively for the first half of the year last year. So that's something to consider. And you still have some pretty big holes until someone surprises us and steps up at wide receiver and defensive tackle and running back.
A top 10 pick would be a lot of fun, though, wouldn't it? I mean, you want a wide receiver, a corner. You need a left tackle. You might need a left tackle next year picking inside the top 10. That'd be fun.
Well, yeah, it's definitely fun come draft time, but it is a beating to go through the football season and your team just stink. I mean, that's never fun.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess I should be – I'm open-minded to that possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could very likely happen, especially if your quarterback gets banged up again. We'll see. I mean, we'll see how – if the offense can improve. I mean, really, it's the running game. You know, the running game is the area that I think you're going to see the difference. That needs to – we need to see a step in the right direction with this running game.
And to my thought about Dak, I think the Cowboys moving so strongly in offensive line direction and the things they've said, I think they're acknowledging that. I think it was obvious 3 or 4 years ago, if you're trying to ride Dak Prescott to a Super Bowl, you're probably not getting out of the divisional round. I guess being on the other side of 30, you know, needing to rebuild this offensive line, maybe it's just good timing, but I look at it as if the Cowboys are saying, wow, we tried, you know, we listened to what the numbers said, we need to pass on the early downs, and that it just didn't add up to enough success. Even when we had Lamb, Cooper, Gallup, Dalton Schultz, you know, we couldn't get there, even when Tyron Smith was healthy and Zach Martin was still around. So, you know, if this team is going to be significantly better, I think it's going to be because that running game plan comes together. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, says this. Brian, tell me if you agree or disagree. After some highly questionable drafts of late, Jerry and Steven and Will have totally redeemed themselves in 2025.
I just, you know, my own personal, just looking at my board, you know, 3 in the first 37. That's me. If you don't, if, you know, I trust what I saw. You know, they pulled three players out of my first 37 players. I think this is absolutely going in the right direction. I think they did everything that I asked them to do when it came to don't reach on any players, pick your board, stack your board, don't jump tags, don't do things for needs. You know, we talked a lot about wide receivers at 12. We talked a lot about running backs at 44. We really didn't talk about a defensive end at 44 very much. But they got one of the better ones in the draft. I think him and Mike Green from Boston College, I mean, excuse me, from Marshall, mm-hmm. are two of the best in this draft. You know, we could talk about Carter and others at Penn State. But when you look at the guys that weren't named Carter, they really did get one of the best pass rushers in this draft with the with our guy from Boston College. So I'm hopeful that those guys fit in. I'm really hopeful about Blue. I'm kind of trying to find out, do some back channeling, if what Sarkisian was thinking about Blue and the fumbles, were they playing him more, less because of the fumbles? Maybe get a little bit more insight to that and see what the situation is. But I think they absolutely hit there. I kind of wish that they would have paired another running back with some guys that were available, but that's me being selfish.
Yeah.
That's me being selfish right there. But I think overall, the execution of it, not jumping tags, taking the best player, I think they went the right direction there.
All righty. Well, we'll have a much better idea by the time we get to training camp, by the time we're halfway into the season. If that is the case, I mean, three of the top 37, if it plays out like that, I think we could be easily talking about the Cowboys back into contention in 2026. It's probably a year away, and maybe a trade, maybe some, you know, moves in free agency more next March could push you in that direction. But considering how old the core had gotten, you failed two drafts in a row. I think it's too much to ask for this team to have that big of a turnaround in 1 year. But if, I mean, well, the 1, 2, 3 could very well be amongst your best players in 12 months.
Yeah, we saw the Eagles, and this is your hope. We saw the Eagles in last year's draft two corners, and it made their defense remarkably different and better. That's what you got to hope for at the Cowboys with these guys that you've drafted.
Yeah, impact players for sure for Philadelphia. And obviously the Cowboys are only going to be as good as their drafts are. It's time to hit the Expressway. G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30. Everything breaking in the world of sports in the 5 minutes on the other side. And we're back with you here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Yeah, buddies, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. As we are coming off that Dallas Stars victory, it's time now to hit the Expressway. We go commercial free to the top. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in about 6 minutes. And LA Live's coming up here at 5:40. This segment of the G-Bag Nation, the Expressway, is brought to you by our friends at the On Time Experts and Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. You guys want to drink up, lap up some of these avalanche tears?
Heck yeah.
Here's what they're saying in the Colorado paper today. They had three takeaways from the game. Number one, Dallas equals flop city. Is that what you guys saw? Nobody does hockey's dark arts like a Pete DeBoer team does. Rupe Hintz went after Nathan MacKinnon as if there was a price on number 29's head. But on a roster of hockey, AJ Pierzynski's, the Academy Award for pure sneakiness for Game 5 goes to who else? Jamie Benn. The captain adding to his legend against the Avs about 5:30 into the third when he skated into defenseman Josh Manson in front of the Avs net while Manson's stick happened to be up. Sure enough, Manson looked the other way. Ben's neck connected with the stick, and the captain falls to the ice. Manson whistled for high sticking, and Dallas got away with it again. I mean, multiple articles in the papers about this. I do feel like it was game two, or was it game one, that went decidedly in the Avs' favor from the very beginning on a phantom tripping call against Rupe Hintz. So, yeah. You know, last night it was not the officiating that decided that game. Maybe there were some questionable calls, but, I mean, the Stars significantly outplayed them.
Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious to have them crying about that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plays we can go ahead. They're cross-checking Mason Marchment three times in the back when there's a tie-up along the boards and there's no call there. You know, this is a bunch of bitching to be bitching from the Avs fans.
Yeah,
I think both sides, we can have some gripes. We did. Yeah, Rupe Hintz got away with one yesterday. Was it a little bit of a dirty play? Sure. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. There's a lot of dirty that's going on. And you need a little bit of that if you want to go ahead and hoist Lord Stanley's cup. So spare me your tears, Colorado. Just go out there and try and do better and win a hockey game. I'm sorry the Stars kicked your ass last night, okay? Let's see if you can go ahead and get us back in game six. My bet, you do, and we're going to go ahead and spank you in game seven.
It's been a great series so far. You expect nothing less here, and it would be very fitting for it to go seven games. Now, how do you feel about your guys engaging in the so-called dark arts of hockey? It's a philosophical question in soccer as well. Do you want a little bit of a jersey tug? Do you want a little bit of a trip if the ref's not looking?
Hell yes.
Absolutely.
Hell yes. That's what this sport's about.
Yeah, I'm
with
you.
You got to.
Yeah.
You have to. And if you don't get caught, like Hintz didn't yesterday, hey, hell of a play, boys. That's how we play. Go ahead. Make it happen.
Yeah, I think that's different than what the Houston Astros did with the buzzers and with the trash can banging. I think there's definitely a line of like a little extra physical play and, you know, cheating to that.
Hey, I'll tell you what, these players are so good at feeling a stick blade around their skates that the minute they feel that, lunge forward.
Whoop!
Just lunge forward, and that right arm of that official is going to shoot right up in the air.
Yeah,
happens every single time. You know, and I'll tell you what, there's some times where we've seen like basically two hand slash onto the stick handler's hands not get called. In this game, it's like, gosh, that's slashing. You know, so the hooking, the slashing, but these in the playoffs. You know, unless we're in overtime, if you feel blade of stick around your skates, just lunge forward.
And there's a lot of nuance to that. I feel bad for the officials. I know players can be very sneaky with how they trip you, but I'd like to see the threshold risen. Like right now in the NBA, the refs are letting them go to war. Yeah. And it's amazing, right? Let the intensity, let the physicality rise in the postseason. In the Denver Post columnist with this headline, dude, where's Cale McCarr? Obviously,
that's a good question.
Pretty good movie reference. He says, the Dallas Divers can spot a sucker in pinstripes from a mile away. Mm. Says this Stars roster is full of divers and divas.
I've never seen an embellishing call on the Stars.
No, I haven't either.
I've seen the Stars get screwed with embellishing calls.
Yeah.
Maybe if if you can't beat them, join them. Colorado, I've saw some flops on the tripping calls to your point there, Brian.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when you start boo-hooing when your team's not getting the benefit of the doubt here. Sorry you didn't. I mean, get the hell out of here with your crap.
214 might be an Avs fan, says Bischel is turning into a punk. He is turning into an intimidator.
That's got to be an Avs fan text, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Bischel,
he's so damn big, he better be throwing his body weight around and smacking people.
Absolutely de-cleated that dude last night in impressive fashion.
I love it.
I love the impact he can have in like, what, 11, 12 minutes on the ice? You feel that presence. I love that guy.
The 2022 Conn Smythe Trophy winner, the best defenseman of his generation, is what this columnist is saying about this Cale McCarr. He would look like one of the guys who's so far just along for the ride.
Yeah, some are saying he's more invisible in this series than Miro.
Wow. I mean, you can obviously not help but see McKinnon. I mean, everything he does is pretty amazing. But I've been waiting to see McCarr make his impression on the series so far, and he is out of there. Luka Doncic stepped up to pay the entire expected cost of restoring a vandalized mural depicting Kobe and Gigi Bryant in downtown Los Angeles. I can't believe somebody would want to vandalize that. Even a Laker hater. I mean, come on, let's have some classes, Laker haters. The Lakers' new guard made the donation to cover the entire goal of a GoFundMe page created by the artist. Wants to restore the mural titled Mambas Forever. It was always important to give back to the community, said Luka. They gave me so much, so I just wanted to give back. Might be trying to butter him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Lakers fans coming for Luka's head.
Not playing much defense. I was talking to a guy that was actually in Minneapolis for that series, and I said, well, what do you think sitting live there? And he goes, man, Minnesota is going after him.
Yeah.
They've decided that he's the one guy that will not play defense. And they said, yeah, they live with the problems that he presents on offense. But he says, you can clearly see Minnesota is targeting him as a as a defender.
Yeah, it was one of the main problems, I think, for Nico and Dumont as they were looking at it. Like, how do we build a winning thing around this with, you know? And I thought they did a great job. They were like, okay, we need two centers. We always got to have a great rim protector in the game. And I bet the Lakers are planning the same thing as soon as this season ends. Can't help it now, though. And it's time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius has your G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah, Luca's food out there.
He is food.
Cool. He is straight food out there.
Cooked.
Now, I see they try to hide him on the, like, little defensive schemes. Yeah. Nah, they still try to fight him. Yeah. But I want the switch, bro. Give me the switch. Give me the switch. I need a pick. Yeah, I need Luca face to face. There we go.
Getting destroyed.
Yeah, he's getting cooked out there, brother. Sheesh. What they call when you like playing pickup games? Oh, he's with us.
Yeah.
Even though he's on the opposite team, he's just so bad. He's like, oh, no, don't worry about him. He's with us. Yeah. Let him shoot. He's with us. He's on our side.
What's crazy is he's played horrible defensive playoff games throughout his career, and then will come back and play like actual good defense the next day. Yeah. It's a matter of effort and focus. It really is.
Yeah, he needs to go down there to... I'm not even gonna say it. All right, here we go. Here we go, G-Bag of the Day. We do this every weekday on the Fan at 5:30 now. Fam, 5:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all or find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Also, you can send all your hate mail there. Our winner and champ right here. This will be day number two. From the Boomer and Geo show on WFAN in New York, Geo was crashing out on a caller. I love a good broadcasting crash out.
Hey, good morning, guys. Geo, I got a bone to pick with you this morning, Geo.
Yeah.
Is everything okay this morning? Because you've done nothing but rip the Giants since 6 o'clock.
Is everything okay?
How many Ole Miss games have you actually watched all year? Okay.
I sat there and watched. How many?
If the Giants like a quarterback, you go out and get him, Gio.
Ooh,
Gio, okay, Mike. Hey, listen to me. Hold on for a second.
Triggered.
Hold on a second. For God's sakes, I'll talk to you. And by the way, I said this for dummies like you earlier that I hated the Vikings pick of J.J. McCarthy. I said he stinks and I hated it. So that has nothing to do with it being a Vikings fan or not. And how many Ole Miss games did John Gruden watch of Jackson Dart? And I'll tell you right now, he thinks he stinks.
Yeah. How many times have you watched him play?
How many times have you watched him play, Mike?
More than you.
How many times have you watched him? Seriously. You're a Giants fan. So you're going to suck off every one of their
games.
Yes! You're probably one of those sickos who sat there and defended Daniel Jones for 6 freaking years.
Yeah. Did he?
Get over it!
Get over it.
He's a pudgy Utah clapper.
Yeah.
Pudgy. How many games at Ole Miss? I don't need to watch any games at Ole Miss. How many games at BYU did I watch Zach Wilson play? 0, and I knew he was going to suck.
That's what I'm talking about, bro. I love that type of energy right there.
It's like 6 in the morning.
Just woke up angry as hell.
Yeah. All right. Hey, so you guys familiar with this guy, Kerry Carpenter? Plays for the Tigers, Detroit Tigers, Kerry Carpenter.
Yeah, the Carper, yes.
Yeah, apparently they got like a little finish him.
Oh, yeah.
When he goes up there because they want him to end the game and close out the games or whatnot. So, you know, he's the finish him guy. Well, he got a home run last night. Uh-oh. And the man on the call was just perfect with this timing.
Are you the Mortal Kombat guy?
Scorpion wins.
Kerry, finish him. Three and two. That's a high fly ball. Deep to left field. Altuve back at the track and the wall. And that is way up and out of here. Kerry Carpenter does finish him.
that's a great bit.
Yeah, that's great right there. I like that one.
Mortal Kombat should live forever.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see it still enjoying some shine. They were playing in The Last of Us. You know, they were all fired up to be playing Mortal Kombat there, Last of Us. I think I gave up on that show this weekend, though.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, man. It's been sitting in the queue. I'm down a few. I need to catch up, but Everybody's saying the same thing, in a sense.
I told her last night, I said, you got one more of these episodes. We better see something happen. Restores my faith.
Episode 2 of Season 2 is one of the best episodes on TV.
There we go.
But
what show are we talking about again?
Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
But I can understand 3 was...
That should have been the finale, if you ask me. Maybe. Show over. I think he's the only actor on the show that actually caught something.
You don't like that girl?
No, that's a big NO.
Well, then, yeah, that's acquitted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, I got some questions, too.
What are we doing, guys?
Yeah. Hey. Never could believe the things you do to me. Now, Zach and Brian.
Yes.
You guys had a little contentious argument during the draft segments.
Yeah. So glad you got this.
Well, it was so much. They argued for like 4 minutes, bro.
It was a long time.
It was a long time. Like, they let it go, then it came back up, then they let it go again, and it came back up.
Yeah. Well, I started getting the Josh Allen strays, which were not deserved. I was not part of the Josh Allen stuff.
I got to own that one. What you called me out for in the midst of this.
Well, we get confused.
Let's see. Let's get a little bit of it. You guys are going back and forth right here. I just got a little clip of it. I wish we could have had more. Could have played a whole 4 minutes of it, actually.
Could we have?
Yeah, I listened to the whole 4 minutes of it.
Did you make sure we weren't cussing at each other?
I don't know.
I thought about dropping an F-bomb there.
I wish you had him.
Everything that you guys are talking about in terms of question marks or problems or whatever you want to call it around Jalen Milroe is all things that you can fix. Everything that he's got that you can't fix is elite.
You got one quarterback that's fixed that. It's Josh Allen. How many damn quarterbacks get drafted every year, Brian? How many? You got one example. One.
Oh, they fix quarterbacks all the time.
They fix quarterbacks all the time.
They do.
This is a traits league. This is a traits league. Especially when
don't get defensive because you're wrong about a guy. That's okay. That's okay.
I'm not getting defensive.
You are getting defensive.
You're sitting here coming to me for something I never even did, do you? And I'm just saying, you can't fix quarterbacks all the time. You did.
Cowboys ain't got no people.
There are two good ones. Our show hated Josh Allen.
I was on the show then. I was on the nosebleed seats at night, Brian.
Okay.
I got promoted afterwards.
I was at
it's because they Josh, didn't like Zach Josh yeah. Allen. They had
and so they had kicked out those guys, and the one guy who had your back on Josh Allen, you're coming at right now.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Playful, respectful,
very respectful.
I wanted to keep that part. We said, no, you're just mad because I called out your guy. Just stand on your guy. I called out your guy.
Stand on your guy.
It happens quarterbacks all the time. It's so easy.
I'm right, it's you, fool. No, I called out your guy.
Always trying to make it interesting. This is how that goes.
We needed a little bit
defend
more.
Defend your guy,
that,
coward. So
yeah. It was good.
Your guy.
You know, you're a coward, Brian.
You guys like Bill Simmons?
Yeah, I think he does all right.
He's hilarious.
Yeah, Bill has some funny moments.
He's an all-timer.
Sure. There are some times where I want to hit him in the face because he's so just Boston sports everything, but sometimes he can be really funny.
He's complaining about the ESPN broadcast of Knicks Pistons.
Oh, okay.
He just has some complaints.
I have some ESPN notes. Okay. Maybe don't go to a commercial when Jalen Brunson is leaning against the scorer's table, holding his ankle in complete agony, and do the, we'll be back after this. And then you're gone for 4 minutes. That's one. Number two, I don't think you need to show Jalen Rose 15 times after you laid him off 2 years ago, 3 minutes before he was about to do a get up segment and gets a call and says, don't go and get up because you're about to be laid off. Maybe don't show him over and over again during the game. You mother aggregate that. I don't care.
Well, allow me to zag. I mean, doesn't Jalen want to be on TV?
Good zag. Maybe there's truth in both sides. Hey, there's Jalen Rose. We completely blindsided him 2 years ago after he did 15 years of great work for our company. He seems happy.
Pretty good commentary from Bill Simmons there. Yeah. Smart guy.
That's a good zag.
Remember like 10 years ago when Bill Simmons was everywhere all of a sudden?
Oh, yeah.
He was like the face of basketball on ESPN.
And, yeah.
And then and I think he went to the Ringer or something. Did he start the Ringer?
Yeah,
he started the Ringer.
Made a lot of money, probably sold it.
Went away. Like, didn't he run their podcast, their whole platform?
It's like a media empire, and he's doing like these documentaries and everything.
Crushing it.
Yeah, he's everywhere.
Yeah. All right. Is it our champ, Gio, taking on the Giants caller, one-time champ? Is it Kerry Carpenter? Is it Wolchuk and Broadus fighting about Jalen Milroe? Is it Bill Simmons on the ESPN broadcast? Yeah. A lot of different ways I could take this vote. I think I'm going to go with the champ, though, Chief. How about you?
I'm going to go Billy Simmons.
All righty, Lucius.
The champ is Gio.
It's 2-1, Wolchuk.
I really like that Mortal Kombat bit.
Yeah, that was good. It was good.
Yeah, I'll go with the Mortal Kombat.
Right.
I'm voting for Wooly.
Okay, by a score 2-1. And still, your G-Bag of the Day champion, it's Gio taking on that caller who liked their pick of Jackson Dart. It's time now to go back into the Pimp Cup where Lucius has L.A. Live.
It's a Toxic Tuesday here in L.A. Live right after the great Rick James. Bam!
Well, all right, you squares. Fire up this funk.
It'll make you dance
some
everything.
Everybody get high.
It sucks quitting you're great at. Listen, I can turn a Sunday fun day into a no-call show no Monday in a motherfucking instant, you hear me? But I had to quit. I started smoking pots in this little hippie bitch here. She smokes this called dabs. You ever done dabs? Listen, for those that don't know what dabs are, basically when you smoke dabs, it gives you Down syndrome for the rest of the week, okay? You got to do that day? Not gonna get to it, all right? She goes, hey, are you okay? Do you need anything? I go,
nah, my mom's come to get me. Don't worry about it.
Look at my dab. Hey, this is LA Live for Tuesday, April 29th, 2025. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in LA Live. Welcome in, Tolos! Welcome in, first-time listeners. Welcome in, last-time listeners. Welcome in, long-time listeners. This is LA Live, sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. We got beef!
What's beef?
Hold on, we got beef. Hold on. I got to get this right. We got beef, bro, and I want to respect it the proper way. I had to find. There we go. Yeah. The commission. There we go. Uncle Paul. I had to find the right vibe for the beef. You know what I'm talking about, fam. Please be patient with me right here.
100%.
Okay. All right. Texas is trying to change the name of the New York Strip Steak. We're aware of this, fellas. Right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm on board.
They want to change it to.
I like this one.
They want to change it to the Texas Strip Steak because we make damn near all the beef in the country right here.
Where's the beef?
In Texas. Well, they're fighting back in New York. They've got beef. Todd Shapiro, he is the owner of the Albany War Room Tavern. Albany War Room Tavern, big steakhouse up there in Sounds Albany, good. I guess.
Seymour Wiener used to be all up in there.
Hilarious. He plans to file a $1 million lawsuit against our lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick, for, you know, wanting to basically change the name of the steaks. By the way, is anything else out there that we should change the name of to Texas? Any other food things or something that somebody else has that we should change? Think about that for a second.
Well, I mean, now that Zalatz is making amazing pizza, I wouldn't mind making a run at that, you know? Maybe like a Texas style pizza.
Texas style pizza. Yeah. Texas is Zalatz. We got to put our name on it. You got to stamp your name on it.
Yeah, I feel like Zalatz is the
Zalatz of Texas.
Is one of the only Texas pizza companies that can go toe to toe with the New York pizza.
Zalatz of Texas. Yeah. This all came from the Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Let's go to Fox 4 News for this report right here, fam. This is hilarious because my guy has a real New York accent. And he calls us all types of names down here, and he has shots for Dan Patrick's. Pretty funny to me, actually.
I mean, a lieutenant governor has nothing better to do.
Earlier this year, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick started a somewhat surprising political food fight. It involves legislation to rename the New York Strip Steak to the Texas Strip Steak.
It's called the New York Strip. Now this guy is trying to get in the media. You're telling me you have nothing better to do in Texas? Except name steaks after each other? Come on. You bunch of yahoos.
Bunch of yahoos.
He's commenting on it. Yeah, nothing better to do than comment about us trying to change the steaks.
Hey, he's standing up for his New York strips.
Come on.
Well, I mean, he's also trying to outlaw that fake THC stuff that's at all the vape shops.
Yeah.
You know?
got a long line of very important things. Keep gambling.
I want the ones that, if it's straight from hemp, like the Farm Bill says, the 2018 Farm Bill says we can have hemp at a certain level. Why even touch that? Leave it alone. You want regulations so we know what this is.
Yep.
Don't take it all away, bro.
I thought it was a pretty good workaround there by the industry.
It's fantastic.
You know? But apparently it's a major problem.
Yeah, I don't like what they're doing here.
Leadership.
We should just corner the entire steak market, though. Like, screw the Philly cheesesteak. We're getting a lot of texts for, like,
Texas cheesesteak?
Texas cheese. There you go. You know, let's just take all the steak. That's Texas.
Boston cream pie, Texas cream pie.
There we go. There we go.
Nobody we'll ransack them like us.
Except name steaks after each other? Come on. You bunch of yahoos. I'm trying to turn around and steal my business.
I'll start a super PAC here. I'll get millions of dollars with some of my billionaire friends to put money in campaigns against these yo-yos. You ever sue them for $1 million? They need to keep politics out of stakes.
Politics out of stakes. You yo-yos.
This guy's funny.
Yeah, I like them. Yahoos and yo-yos. You bunch of yahoos out there. Yo-yo. Bunch of yo-yos.
Yo-yo's an amazing dish.
Yeah, I like that one. What else I got? I got a whole lot of stuff, but I ain't got a lot of time. You guys familiar with the sperm race?
I've seen clips. That. Yeah.
Sperm race.
Yeah, it's a sperm race, bro.
Can we bet on these?
Yeah. Which swimmer's the fastest?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
More of a marathon than a sprint, though, right? This is like a 45-minute outing.
Let's see here. I just read it. The world's first sperm race was held in downtown Los Angeles on Friday, drawing a rather large crowd there, Mr. Eric.
Thank you.
A lot of people came out. Reminds me of the movie Idiocracy.
I bet they did.
Yeah. Where the number one movie in the country was called Ass. That's what this reminds me of. Started by a 17-year-old student and entrepreneur in the Bay Area. Launched a competition to raise awareness about men's health. One race included a young man from USC, another one from UCLA. They had a...
It's a rivalry. Who's going to win?
Big Ten matchup.
The Bruins or the Trojans?
They had a sperm racing professional sperm analyzing kit.
What? Well, like a microscope?
I don't know what that is. Yeah. It measures concentration, mobility, progressive mobility. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to just go to this because that sounds crazy, bro.
Downtown LA's night scene exploding Friday with an event built.
Not the news puns on a story about sperm, my guy.
He knew it.
Family show. Let's clean it up.
Oh my gosh.
He's been waiting for that one all week.
Respect.
Lord, ABC7. Here we go.
Downtown LA's night scene exploding Friday with an event billed as the world's first sperm race. Oh. Four contestants came with the goal to win $10,000 in bragging rights.
He said sperm race.
He
said the first sperm race.
Four contestants came.
Strongest, fastest semen.
I want to build Olympics for sperm.
Eric Zhu is one of the sperm racing organizers. With the help of wealthy investors, the 17-year-old Bay Area high school student and entrepreneur launching this epic competition to raise awareness on male fertility health.
The general public doesn't talk about it because it's so taboo.
The contenders, who were handpicked out of thousands of young men, were given money each week to train their mind, bodies, and diets ahead of the viral sold-out marathon. The competitors' sperm put into a microscopic racetrack, and then they're off. The sperm, literally captured on this screen, swimming to the finish line. Yeah,
they're all cheering the sperm as it's going around.
Go, buddy, go! Better than the dot race, right?
The sperm.
I'm just disgusted.
You can do this.
Hashtag sperm racing.
Cheering out the sperm!
But perhaps this was the matchup of the night. Male students from USC and UCLA. In the end, the Trojan won. The Bruin got creamed.
Channel 7 doing great work there in LA.
It's an FCC violation.
Pretty substantial.
No, man. They
can't get away with anything like that before 11 p.m.
They're so addicted to the pond.
Look at these little sperms go.
He said they can't. You know what?
He did. You got your eyes on this thing, Wolchuk?
Yeah, I'm watching these races now. I'm going to be invested.
You cheering them on?
Hell yeah, I am.
Go, 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 go.
Little names for them and everything.
Move over, dot race.
Yep.
Make a place for the sperm race.
Yep. If this is an Olympic event,
I saw where Flash
got
beat the other night. The guy
that's rare.
The guy in Atlanta that runs the outfield there, he got beat by a guy.
By sperm?
By a dude running faster than him.
Well, they give the guy the head start, don't they?
The regular citizen. Usually Flash catches him though.
Yeah.
Usually. Not this time.
Oh, they really do like cream these guys though. Afterwards.
How did what?
What do you mean by the cream?
Like yeah. it's kind of, you know, what Nickelodeon do you mean by that? Where you get you get slimed. They basically have the loser get dunked on. I don't think
they just pour cream all over him.
Yeah,
he got schlonged.
Yeah. They get schlonged.
This is crazy though.
Yeah, this is nuts, man. There's definitely this is gonna end up being on nuts. ESPN the Ocho soon.
Prize Picks, baby.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Schlonged.
These guys have like a whole intro video. They're like as if it's a fight. You know,
this is a battle.
They're warming up. They're in each corner.
They got walkout music and everything.
What would be the walkout songs?
It's incredible.
Walkout song.
Get on the zone before we know it.
I'll make love to you.
Yeah.
Some Marvin Gaye on your way out. Sexual healing.
Wow, 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 wow. I've been really trying, baby.
There goes the champion right there.
It's a microscopic racetrack. It's the battle of the fastest sperm.
So they have the swimmers extracted, and they're putting them all on a petri dish in like lanes, yeah. like waterproof lanes, yeah. and seeing which one gets to the end first, actually?
Yeah. So let me see. They have built a microscopic racetrack that mimics the reproductive system, which includes chemical signals, fluid dynamics, and synchronized starts.
Okay.
Amazing. 17-year-old came up with this?
Yeah.
So those swimmers are sensing.
What a gooner he is.
The inventor of spermalytics.
What a goon, bro.
This is going to end up taking over, dude. This thing's incredible.
He's a pioneer.
He's a pioneer.
I mean, he walks out with his sperm
in a jar?
Yeah, and he's showing it off.
The champion?
The champion. Here we go. Sperm? I got the winning.
That's disgusting.
I got the winning swimmers here.
That's where we are, man. Idiocracy. Well,
yeah. Was it a nail biter sort of finish?
No. When he said UCLA got creamed, the Bruins really took a big L.
So it was a blowout.
It was a blowout.
Yeah, boy was happy too that he won, man. He was excited. He's screaming like he just won a UFC match.
We got money though, didn't we?
Bro, ropes, dog, I told you. Yeah.
Was the bank there to congratulate him?
We got
to
get Joe Rogan and him at the end of the match.
Oh, man.
Start calling people out.
What happened here?
Like Stern in Private Parts bragging about his super swimmers.
So how'd you feel out there?
I think I would be pretty proud of that.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because if yours is showing up last place up there, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, what's wrong with me?
I got to see a talk about this. Drink more water or something. Hey, before we get out of here, there's a guy I follow. He's a DJ up there in New York. By the way, Detroit Pistons played New York Knicks tonight, game 5 in a garden. And I definitely want to see New York Knicks win this one.
Yeah.
But there's a DJ I follow. He's called the Subway DJ. He pops up. He's like a pop-up DJ. He'll DJ in like random places. Dog Park. I seen one. What's that? When you give plasma away, he's out there.
Plasma place. Been there, done that.
Yeah, me too. Just dumb stuff is where he pops up at. Anyway, he was outside of the garden when the Knicks won, and the cops were just hating on the Knicks vibes. Mm-hmm. The Knicks fan were having a good time listening to the Mo Bamba song. Yeah. You know, calling. Cop just snatched his little DJ situation. Everybody booed him. They just outside having a good time. They just won.
F Trey Young.
Boom! Oh, they pulled the plug on the party.
Was that pretty easy to do, Lucius?
Let him know.
Bro, the cop was just standing there with a smile on his face. He's just like, yep, took it away from you, brother. I'm so happy.
That was me.
They were going to charge him with inciting a riot for playing his music out there and everybody being excited.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, just won your darn playoff game. people are excited, bro. Don't be a jerk.
It's fun, like going to a game and pulling up in the and parking garage and parking everything. But the most fun I've ever had, it's after a big win, taking mass transportation afterwards, whether that's a DART, whether that's a train, whether that's a bus, because the vibes of everybody that's leaving that place, most people, you know, a little bit of BAC going on here.
Oh, yeah.
And the party and the train or the bus or whatever, it's the best memories.
Yes.
Yep. I do love a good post-game DART from time to time.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody said their walkout song for the sperm race is Clarence Carter. I'll be stroking. That's what I'll be doing. All right, I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, in the creek don't rise on a butt-naked Wednesday. My name is Lucius Alexander, and I holla. Peace.
There he goes. L.A. Live every night, 540 here in the G-Bag Nation. Proper round tripper coming up next. We'll Chuck, what's in store?
The Yankees are donging, and do the Rangers have any top 10 players at these positions? That's next in the nation.